I'm so happy that the devil is so unhappy that we are in this place at a prayer meeting tonight. Over 100 people, almost close to 100 people in this sanctuary, and so many people online. Pastor Carter is in Austin, Texas, with ministers there in a prayer conference. So God is on the move in this nation at this time. Praise God. I want to share with you tonight something on my heart, and it's listen to this incredible testimony. That's what I want to talk about, an incredible testimony. And we started with one tonight, an incredible testimony. But before I get to what is that incredible and who is that incredible testimony, I just want to talk to you a little bit about actually lions and fear and the state of the world, actually. You know, lions and fear are often coupled together as a good analogy one for another, because lions are known as probably the most fearless animals in the animal kingdom. And in scripture, God allows that the devil be described actually as a lion. And it says that, be sober, be vigilant, it says in 1 Peter, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. But interestingly enough, scripture also refers to God himself as a lion in Revelation 5. And it says, as the lion of the tribe of Judah, of course, describing the greater lion, the symbol of a lion as the Lord God Jesus' absolute power and authority over his creation. They're not equal lions, obviously. One will always prevail through triumph, the lion of Judah, and one will always be defeated, the lesser lion, the roaring lion. I had an encounter with lions. I have actually had a couple of times, but a memorable one was in South Africa. I was in a van and I had like a camera and a close-up camera looking, panning the grasses when two golden heads shot up. They were the same color as the grasses, and one had a golden mane and the other had a sleek golden head. And because I had a close-up on them, I literally saw their eyes. And in those eyes was a complete absence of fear. It shook me to the core when I saw those eyes looking back at me like that. And there was one fighter there, one hunter, and one person in great retreat. That would have been me. I dropped the camera, rolled up the window, and I truly experienced the shaking of being in something that has a complete absence of fear. I want to say that fear is the devil's main weapon to dominate us. And the state of the world today, you don't need me to tell you this, but there is so much fear because obviously we are in perilous times. As a society and as societies worldwide, having just come from Europe, I can also say this is true. Societies are pushing God away. As mankind, we want to have the final say on what is good and what is evil. There is no system. It's like mankind does not want anymore in this final gasp of time. We do not want any system of truth to reign over us. It is like man wants to say, now we get to decide what is truth, independent and what has been passed down through the ages, what has guided societies for generation. It is man is wanting to decide what truth is. An unregenerate man will always, always choose darkness over light, always choose oppression over fairness and kindness. Gross darkness, the scripture says, will cover the earth, and violence will cover the earth. People will claim truth, but hold it in an unrighteous way. People will say, I have my truth, you have your truth. And there is no agreement on truth because what is being discussed is not truth. It's people's idea of truth. And because of that, people will descend to worshiping not God, but creation. Will descend to worshiping the creatures. Will descend into worship anything but God. And because of that, we will change truth into lies, mankind. And the result is we will be given over to increasing vileness, chaos, and judgment. Scriptural history bears this out of when people grow more and more independent of God and want to chart their own way outside of what he has revealed to mankind through truth. And in Genesis 6, the scripture says that God was sorry. He was sorry for creating mankind, and he wanted to start over with Noah. Further down in Genesis, God's people, it happened again. God's people became hardened, backslidden, and unrepentant. And God wanted to start over with Moses and begin again. Because, beloved, things can get that bad. People can grow so independent and vile and gross darkness cover the earth that this can happen. And when things get out of control, then fear does abound on every side, because there is something about mankind made in the image of God that something is desperately wrong. But praise be to God. Before there was a time, before the foundation of the earth, there was a time, and God had a plan for man made in the image of God. And this plan was that God Almighty would send his sinless son to die for the sins of the world. And through this cross that his son would hang on, there would be forgiveness for sin and an ability to understand truth, desire truth, and want truth, to begin to see truth as a protection, begin to see God's plan that we are made free through truth. And God would start over again, but this time with Jesus Christ. It would be, as Hebrews said, he would start with mankind on a new basis, in a new and a living way. He would not have to deal with when in Noah's time there would be an ark of safety, because that's something seen, or not in Moses' time when he gave a set of laws to live by, and all that was good. But this time God was going to do a new and a living way. And that living way is that he was going to gather a people from every kindred, every nation, every tribe, every tongue. And in this nation of people that he would transform, this would be what's so different from when he gave an ark of safety or a law, a covenant of laws. This time, God was going to transform every saved person by creating and molding them into a temple. That each individual person would become a temple of the Most High God. That you and I would become a place of worship. That you and I would become a temple of prayer. That you and I would become a place where the Spirit of God dwells. And I know that I am sharing some very basic truths, but let me tell you what God spoke to me, what it really means that when you and I become a temple of the Holy Spirit, a place where God dwells in us. You know, I hear many people say, I don't have a big testimony. I don't, you know, it's kind of ordinary. There's not a lot of drama to it. Other people would say, well, yeah, I have a testimony. I was saved from addictions. I've been saved from suicidal thoughts. I've been saved from a broken heart, a broken life, a broken home. But beloved, listen to me, what the great equalizer of the cross is in this story of redemption. All of us can't have a bigger testimony than the one we share in this truth. And here is our testimony of everyone that names Christ as Lord. This is our testimony. I was dead, and now I'm alive again. That is the testimony absolutely every one of us shares. Beloved, you can't have a bigger testimony than resurrection from the dead. And that's what we share. We share a testimony of resurrection from the dead. The scripture says, you who were dead in sin and trespass, now has he quickened and brought us from death to life. And we have the most incredible testimony in the whole world. There is no one here that can say, I was a little bit dead or I was partially dead. No, all of us were dead, and it took an absolute supernatural life of God to invade our deadness and our corruption to raise us from the dead. We have such an incredible testimony. No matter our background, no matter our story, we have all had to have been visited by supernatural life and brought from dead to life. And I thank God for this supernatural life. We are a supernatural people on the earth with a supernatural remedy. And I praise God for this. God gave the ultimate intervention ever. And beloved, this is why the devil fears when you and I go to the prayer closet. This is why the devil fears when you and I go to a prayer meeting. He's afraid that you and I are going to remember. We are going to remember that our testimony is a resurrection from the dead to life testimony. Oh, what if they remember? Beloved, the lesser lion has to constantly try to make this walk about us. He has to try to constantly roar in our ears to accuse us and to oppose us, to distract us, to make it about us. And there's a place for us to consider this. But I like what Pastor Nick said, that he felt there were people tonight that were one wave away from a disaster, one wave away from a capsize. And I know that God is sending this word tonight of how supernatural our life in Christ is, to remind us the very biggest of picture, that we can rise and go, God, when I just remember right now that my testimony is resurrection life in me, I'm going to rise and pray for others. I'm going to move out on the ground that I have such a supernatural testimony, joined with my brothers and sisters with such a supernatural testimony from death to life, that we're not going to be quiet tonight. When the lesser lion tries to whisper and bring us into fear and have us partake of the spirit of this age, which is rife in unbelief and pushing God out of the situation, you and I are going to remember why we're spiritually alive in the first place and why we have hope, because we have been touched by a power that is not our own. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life, and he who believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. If you live and believe in me, you shall never die. And when Jesus said that words, he kept saying, do you believe this? He would say that to Martha, do you believe this? And she has a dead brother before her, and she's trying to figure out what the heck he is saying. But Jesus, of course, is talking that when he says, I am your resurrection and I am your life. I will touch you spiritually. I will raise you from the dead. I'm going to use Lazarus as a picture, that if you will live and believe in me, what I give you will never be taken from you. It will never die. Beloved, we need to remind the devil of how powerful and how deep is our salvation. It is from death to life. It is resurrection through and through. And I want to give God glory tonight by believing him tonight, by believing him for everybody praying and writing in tonight. The ultimate miracle was done for us. Hallelujah. Do you believe this? There is more miraculous power in this room because our testimony is resurrection than we can believe. I want to say that we can rise and plunder the enemy on the basis of this miracle of being brought from death to life. In every place of unbelief and doubt that we have in our lives, we can say, Lord Jesus, visit me with your resurrection power. I know I have eternal life, but I know there is a promise that if I live and believe in you, I shall never die, that I can have no part dark. That is my inheritance in you, Lord Jesus. So why should I back up in unbelief? And why should I back up in unbelief with others when I am a living miracle? I spiritually should be dead. I should be left where I didn't deserve salvation. I did not deserve the grace of God. And yet he quickened me and he put spiritual life in me. And this life is undefeated. And this life, the devil cannot fear us out of it and lie us out of it if we will remember. But whose we are. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of eternal life, the Spirit of hope. Why should we back up, especially in a time like this? As we've heard this week powerfully, where else shall I go? Will I retreat back into a world full of unbelief and God denying, into the chaos and ever-increasing violence, to the gross darkness that is enveloping this world? Or am I going to believe, even though this world is sinking, this church is rising because it is a supernatural church? Hallelujah. I remember the very first time I was asked to speak at Times Square Church. And I said yes, and finally it was on a Friday night, and I was in the back room, and I was there. Why did I say yes? Why did I say yes? And I was hoping that, something would happen and I wouldn't have to speak. Somebody would change their mind or I'd get deathly ill. And there I was Friday night in the back ready to speak, and I remember Pastor David Wilkerson, he looks at me, and he would always pray with the speakers, and he looked up and he went, "There's power in this room." And I said, "Well, thank God, because I knew I didn't have any." And I was just so grateful. That word was life to me. Lord, you're going to show up in power when I have none. You're going to show up in your glory when I have none. I thank you, oh God, sometimes you bring us down into the depths of death that we may call on you and move in your spirit. So many times we move in the flesh because there's no room for a spirit. But I know that when we're brought to death, to a hopelessness, we can always remind ourselves that there is resurrection life in me. And the next step I take is going to be in the power of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sometimes in this walk, we have to be brought to death that we may be resurrected into the Spirit, that the next step is His Spirit. That's where things happen. And I give God the glory. You know, I just want to close with 1 Samuel 17, because I don't know about you, but my Bible flops over it, 1 Samuel 17. That's David and Goliath. And 45 years I've been hearing this story about David and Goliath, 45 years. I've heard it and I've preached it myself. And it never grows old. That's the power of the life God lives. Every day is renewed. Every day is new and fresh. Every day has a power in it. And I remember with David and Goliath, he's such a type, beloved, of what is this resurrection power I'm talking about? What is this devil-denying, fear-cracking kind of anointing? And you know the story so well. David was the wrong age when God called him. He has the wrong body type. Scripture said he was a young stripling and skinny and small. He was told by his family, "Leave us and go do a job that we kind of snicker at. Nobody wants to take care of the sheep." He was isolated in the wilderness, so alone. And you're so completely vulnerable when you're out there. And it feels like the enemy, who says that he is a devourer, that he is going to be true to his name out there. But beloved, in that place, David, he began to worship. He began to pray. He actually drew the enemy, the lion and the bear, I believe, because he was making noise in the wilderness. He made a campfire at night, and that fire drew the enemy. And God was so faithful to him because the Lord was saying, "This power I'm going to give you, David, is not of yourself. A supernatural power shall come upon you when you need it the most. And you're going to smite a bear, and you're actually going to take a lion, and you're going to take out of the mouth of your adversary that which belongs to you." That was part of the flock he was taking care of. Devil, I want to take out of your mouth what belongs to me. I want to take back what you've got in your mouth concerning me. I'm going to remind you that I am not going to live my life bound up in fear, but I'm going to remind you of whose I am. Because you have no power like resurrection power, like the testimony my God has given me. And I'm going to take what's been in the devil's mouth and I'm going to take it back for myself. And I'm going to declare who I am and whose I am. My testimony is one from death to life. God gave me that testimony. I have a resurrection testimony, and so do you. And so tonight, beloved, I just want to believe that we can not only, there's enough resurrection in this room, not just to pray for our situation, but to pray for those that write in, for those that are at the end of things. And I pray that these few words tonight have reminded us of the most incredible testimony on the face of the earth, and that is yours and that is mine. We have a testimony of resurrection life. We have been brought from death to life because we're saved. And we will continue to have a resurrection testimony as we believe God. Don't look at your power level, beloved. Look at your power source. Don't see what you're doing. I pray that tonight this word, it doesn't make us scared. It makes us stirred to move in the resurrection testimony that we have, not just for ourselves, but for others. I saw the power of that resurrection testimony in Valeria tonight. I know we have that same testimony. Will we rise up in the power of that testimony and remind the devil all the time just really how great our testimony is? I want to glory in this salvation. I want to glory in the power and the compassion of my God to answer prayers here in this sanctuary and forever who's writing in. So I'm just going to ask us if you would stand with me. I just want to, ask God to stamp eternity on our hearts tonight. To remind us the testimony that we have, that we all share, and it is the most incredible one ever. And I just, if you're listening and tuned in, I want to pray for you. Lord Jesus, you have given us eternal life. You have given us eternal life. You have brought us from death to life. You have given us a resurrection testimony, the most powerful testimony on the face of the earth. I pray by the quickening of your Holy Spirit, because we are your temple, a place of praise and worship, a place where you dwell, a place that you have cleansed, a place that you had to stamp such power in it, because you can be nothing else but transformative. You are holy, so now we are holy. You are completely other. And by the grace of God, now we are set apart and other. Oh God, remind us when we get so low, when the accuser of the brethren seems to be the loudest in our ears because he is a roaring lion. Remind us you are the lion of the tribe of Judah, that you rule and reign over your creation and your people. You are not a man that you should lie, and you're not going to cast us off now like where you were sorry in Noah's day and you were sorry in Moses' day. No, you had to come and do it yourself. You had to come, oh God, and live inside us that we would be an undefeatable people, oh God, even as the days grow darker. So we pray, oh God, for the grace to remember who we are. We pray for the grace to glory in our salvation. We pray for the grace to exercise our testimony, oh God, because they loved not their lives to death. And the word of their testimony, oh God, was used to save so many souls. So God, let us step out knowing you are with us. I pray for those that have written in today that are hanging on by a thread. Would you remind us what we have in you, Lord Jesus? I thank you that you, where you said, I am the resurrection and I am the life. And he who believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. We live because Jesus lives in us. And I thank you, oh God, that we're pushing back on the devil, who is a liar, who is the father of lies. And we're pushing back on the fear he is trying to throw over us. We cast that off as a dirty garment, and we rise in the power of the Holy Spirit who lives in us and will never leave us and never forsake us. And now, God, we pray for those that have written in, and we ask you, God, for those, the impossible cases, we ask you to be God and move by your Spirit. We ask you to heal, and we ask you to deliver. We ask you to repair marriages. We ask you for those that are teetering over and have no hope, except you sent your word and you healed them. Except that by the light of your word and the power of your Spirit, you raised us up. It is an undefinable power, but it is real. And we live because we've been brought from death to life. And they will live because they will be brought from death to life by the power of the Spirit. We thank you. We preach Christ and not ourselves. It doesn't matter how old, tired, or how we feel. You are alive and real, and you are moving over your church in the face of the earth. We declare victory in the name of our God, because resurrection power is our portion and our testimony. To God be the glory forever and ever. And all God's people said, amen and amen. Hallelujah.